Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. I am your host. As always, you can listen to us on 92.9 FM or 680 AM. We're also streaming on YouTube, Twitch, and the Everything app. If you want to listen to us and you're away from the radio dial, you can always stream us on the Odyssey app as well as the TuneIn Radio app and the iHeartRadio app. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on the Everything app at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good afternoon, Jeffrey.
Oh, man.
How's it going?
I'm
getting chillier.
As you can tell, I'm going through it.
Oh, yeah.
Back after a fun weekend of vacation, a fun week of vacation in Florida. We're so happy that he got to go to Florida last week. He, of course, is the host of VSiN's College Football and College Basketball Betting Podcast. He's the host of VSiN, the College Football Betting Tailgate Show, Saturdays, 8 a.m. Central Time. You can see him on VSiN Prime Time, airing on weeknights. Download the VSiN Watch app on the Everything app at 1 Tim Murray. Tim, good day, sir.
You sound great.
Yeah, no.
You sound awesome.
You know, because your boy's what, 8 now?
Yeah.
That like 2.5 where your daughter just comes home and for whatever reason, we have a cycle in my family. My daughter doesn't feel good, 24 to 48 hours, my wife doesn't feel good, and then 2 days later, I don't feel good, and now we've hit the trifecta. This is my time. And it's like that worst, like you don't have a fever or anything, just, like the closest thing I can point out is it's just like, you know like when you feel hungover, but you haven't had anything to drink in days? That's kind of how I feel.
That sounds
awesome.
That sounds great.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Yeah, I'm good, man. I've been gallivanting all over the place. Couple days in Florida, came back, did my show on Saturday. We went up to northeast Nevada, cut down a Christmas tree.
Okay, Clark.
Yeah, I know. And then we
did you bring the saw?
Well, it's a family tradition for my wife's side. Her cousin lives here, and it's actually a lot of fun. We drive up. It's about 2.5-3 hour drive. We set up camp, have some drinks, chili, hot dogs, s'mores, all of that, and then cut down a tree and head on back. And then we actually put that tree outside because it's super prickly and kind of painful to put ornaments on, as we've learned over the years. So we just got back from Home Depot with the real tree that we'll put inside. So we have
So you're like one of the 20%. You have not one, but two real trees.
I have two real trees. We have a poinsettia. We were driving around town, went to Costco for the poinsettia. Actually, I have three real Christmas trees because my son said he wanted a Christmas tree in his room.
Okay.
So we bought like a little mini $20.
The Charlie Christmas Brown special.
Tree. Yeah. So we've got that. We got the tree we cut down in the backyard. And then we've got the real tree. that we'll be putting in the living room. I was not a real tree person growing up. My wife has turned me into a real tree person, which I'm fine with. They smell delicious. They are a pain in the ass to clean up. And economically, fake trees definitely take the cake. For you go to, you go get yourself a nice pre-lit beauty, put it in the corner, and we're good to go, you know?
My thing is, I was a, like, I grew up fake tree, so, and we have a fake tree. I respect real tree people. I just, you know what I mean? Like, it's the classic, like,
I like it.
I wish I could be that person, but, like, then let's also be real. We're just going to do whatever our wives want to do.
That's also true.
Like, you are you really going to die on that hill?
No, no. Well, yeah, and living, oddly enough, living in the desert, shockingly, real trees are kind of expensive.
Yeah, I can imagine, because you probably not a lot of great places nearby to cut them down.
Not a lot of Christmas tree farms in this neck of the woods.
Not sprucing up. All right, so of course, Tim yesterday, I can tell Tim is like going cheer for old Notre Dame, like full Notre Dame, like it's time to hate on some of these other teams that are that seem to be throwing shade at Notre Dame online.
Well, all right. I want you to finish your tease here because I actually am not. I just want to.
You're just asking questions, Cartman?
I'm just asking questions. I'm just putting it out there.
I'm just a kid, just asking questions.
And I have a bone to pick with the Atlantic Coast Conference because they're a bunch of morons. That is where I stand on all of this. So currently, like Christmas Story on Christmas Day. They are currently playing Notre Dame-Miami on a loop on the ACC network. Are you aware of this?
I have not seen this, but go on.
Yes. So the ACC is all in on Miami needs to be higher than Notre Dame, which we've discussed it. I'll listen to it. I understand the Miami fans that are upset about the fact that Miami is behind Notre Dame, considering they've been playing much better since the initial ranking. So I will listen to it. And that's why I wanted to put out just the comparative numbers between Notre Dame, Miami, and Oklahoma. But the hilarity of it all is the conference is really the only one to blame here because they're a bunch of idiots. Like their tiebreaker allowed a 7-5 football team to essentially have the opportunity for them to get shut out. It's like when we get to conference tournament time and these one-bid leagues go to neutral sites and give the number one seed no advantage whatsoever. So playing 3 months of basketball meant nothing. And the American Conference has it done right because you know what the American wants? They want their best team to have the opportunity to go to the playoff. And now they're in a unique situation versus the Power Four, where under normal seasons, the Power Four should have no worries about getting into the playoff. But the Americans' tiebreak situation is, if there is no head-to-head, we just leave it up to the committee. If the committee has a team ranked, guess what? They're going to the championship game. And the ACC...
I believe it goes as far as even if the committee doesn't have a team ranked, they ask the committee which team would be ranked the highest. Like, that's how deep it goes.
I think they do get into computers and whatnot, but they didn't have to do that this year. But the ACC, they've got a situation where they've got 5 teams at 6-2 because mega conferences are what they are.
And 8 games, 18-team league, or maybe it's 17 because of Notre Dame, maybe it's 18, but in other sports, but it's whatever, 17 or 18 teams, and then you play an 8-game schedule.
So you've got Miami, SMU, Pitt, Georgia Tech, and Duke all at 6-2. Miami has a win over Pitt. SMU has a win over Miami. Pitt has a win over Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech has a win over Duke. Duke's best win is over 4-4 Cal, 4-4 Wake. But yet, because of the tiebreakers, let's put the Blue Devils in instead of putting the team who's currently 12th in the committee's rankings, and we wouldn't have all of this nonsense because Miami would just play Virginia in the ACC championship game, and then your conference would be able to put in the best team, your conference. Now, they have to worry about the fact that if Duke wins this game is James Madison going to get in over Duke, which I actually think would happen.
See, I'm on the other side. I think that they would just put him in.
They might.
And I will admit that that might be
James Madison
somewhat
might not
cynical, but I think they're going to put the ACC team in.
You're probably right.
Here would actually be the scenario that I could see they didn't. I could see where they ranked Miami high enough that they would put Miami in as an at-large and then leave Duke out.
You can't do that.
I thought you have to be a highest. Well, you're right. They'd have to put
Jay in. Conference champion. Yeah. It's the five auto bids are conference champions.
Yeah. I see. Yeah, I think probably do. God. I mean, I guess so. Here's the question.
But they're so busy.
Does it not invite? But does
all
it,
of the numbers?
But does it not invite more conspiracy angles? If you, like, for instance, when Nicole Auerbach on was it Saturday's NBC game?
Yeah, yeah. She tweeted out if they should just do what the Big Ten did in 2020.
And then it happened. But now, granted, there was a little bit more. At least in 2020, like we acknowledged at the beginning of the year, we just made up the rules. I think the bigger problem was, they should have recognized this could be a legitimate possibility halfway through the season, and they should have announced clarifications on the tiebreakers. The team that is ranked, the two teams that are ranked the highest will meet in the event of no clean head-to-head. Like, you know what I mean? Like, allow for, if there are two teams that separated and beat the other teams, allow those two teams to play. But in the event that we don't have that, I mean, it got to the point where, I believe this is true, after once Cal beat SMU, it went back earlier the day. The result of Boston College and Syracuse mattered.
Yes, that is correct.
Which is so sad.
Like, what are we doing? And you could say this about so many other conferences. The American kind of was clean, right? We ended up with North Texas taking on Tulane, which,
I mean, it was kind of clean. I mean, Navy, I guess because Navy lost the head-to-head North Texas.
I think that's the way, because Tulane was ranked, so they got in.
And Tulane did not play Navy.
Correct.
And then, so therefore, Tulane was, they had a scenario where if Tulane wasn't ranked, though, that it could have been Navy and North Texas.
Correct.
And then if Navy would have won the game, they would have kind of been, oh, boy. Uh-oh.
I mean, Navy could end up ranked today because of their win over Memphis on Thanksgiving. Their back-to-back wins. I mean, Navy's 9-2 with two losses to Notre Dame and North Texas. So we'll see how the bottom of the top 25 plays out. It doesn't really matter. I mean, Navy can't make it to the playoff.
The bottom of the top 25 is just there to justify
right
whoever else they're trying to
I honestly wouldn't be surprised if Navy sneaks in at 25 so they can be like, see, Notre Dame beat another top 25 team because Pitt's going to drop out. But that's the common opponent with Notre Dame and Miami. I mean, look, the scenario, the super conferences have messed up. I mean, look at, once again, these conferences don't really matter in the grand scheme of the playoff, which is all that anybody cares about. But I didn't realize the MAC tiebreaker, which was absolutely hilarious. So the MAC had a three-way tie for second place. It was Miami, Ohio, and Toledo. Toledo beat Miami. Ohio beat Miami. But because Toledo and Ohio didn't play each other, those two results got thrown out and Miami won the tiebreaker. How does that make sense?
Well, this is actually would have been the South Carolina argument last year. Remember when everyone was stumping for South Carolina to be ahead of Ole Miss and Alabama? And you and I were sitting there like, are we the idiots here? Because they played both those teams and lost.
Mm-hmm.
They should not be ahead of them. Like, I felt for a while I was taking crazy pills. Like they have the same record. Like, if you want to sit there and go, if you wanted, and by the way, one of those teams beat them by 30. Like, it was just like, I'm assuming what ends up happening there is Miami. Like, that's the other thing. It's like, can we also do something like as simple as this? If we have a five-way tie and it's not clean and head-to-head, the teams with the best overall records go. Because, like, not only is Miami have losses to Toledo and Ohio, they're also 7-5, and the other two teams are 8-4.
Well, also, if they went to, like, the Mountain West went to computers, which was unfortunate for New Mexico, who won 6 straight games to wrap up the season, one over UNLV and the other over San Diego State, and they get left out. But if they went to the computers, Miami gets in because they're the best team in the conference. Like, all of this could have been settled if they had gone to what the group of five conferences did, which is computers or highest ranked team amongst the committee. But they decided what it was, the highest, it was the winning percentage of common opponents or something out.
Team with the highest winning percentage of common opponents. Yes. But in a 17 team league. Which with is, eight conference games,
which is random. And
well, that
and,
means like in
and
the
also
end,
Duke lost
in
the to end the that, two best teams that they played.
Well, I gotta say the problem with it is in the end, when you get to that situation, almost inevitably, you're going to be saying, okay, which sucky team sucked the least?
Right.
And that is a terrible way to come up with a formula.
And I don't know the answer to this, but did Duke get credit for losing to Virginia and losing to Georgia Tech? Because their best wins are over Cal and Wake Forest, both at 4-4 in the conference. It's
all right. Hold, you're saying, do they get credit for? Remind me again, because I'm trying to go through everyone's schedule in my head.
Well, so Duke,
because it had to be everyone had to play each other, and so it largely came down to because all these teams I think played BC and Syracuse. Weirdly, maybe Miami didn't play. Maybe Miami didn't play BC, but they did play Syracuse.
Miami played Syracuse. I know that for sure. They played Virginia Tech. They played Florida. They played Florida State. They played Stanford. So they played. Miami played four of the bottom six.
Conference opponent win percentage. So that's what it came down to.
So Duke got benefit for losing to Virginia and losing to Georgia Tech because
correct.
Those two teams went a combined 13-3.
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
Like, I'll give the SEC credit. At least their tiebreaker is the win percentage of like the people you beat.
Right. That makes sense to me. Like, give you credit for beating better teams. Right. And look, this all could circle back to, and I'm sure a lot of people are saying, well, Notre Dame's getting benefit for losing close games to two good teams, and Miami's not getting recognized for their head-to-head win, and they're getting dinged for their two losses to Louisville and SMU. And I think what happened, honestly, Jeffrey, is when the rankings first came out, the initial rankings, Notre Dame was 10, Miami was 18, and Miami was not playing very well at that point in time. And now they've kind of gotten back to the September form. And to be honest, I don't know what's going to happen. Like,
no, George and I actually did this off the air yesterday. So we did in the spirit of ACC football, we took a look at the common opponents between Notre Dame and Miami. Notre Dame's overall point margin is better, but it basically all stems from the 70-7 win over Syracuse. And Notre Dame got to play the walk-on lax player, whereas Miami got to play Ricky Collins.
So, is Ricky Collins better than the walk-on lax player?
I'm kind of shocked.
If you want to go down this rabbit hole.
No, I think, hang on, what about this?
Yeah.
I think Fran Brown kind of backed himself into the corner of having to keep playing this kid. Because I actually do think Ricky's better.
Yeah,
but not like it's to be clear, we're talking the difference between a 2 and a 3. Like, we're not, you know what I mean? I'm not sitting there going, like, oh, this is such a travesty of injustice. And, you know, Fran has been pretty open. He's like, I don't think Ricky does the things that I need him to be a quarterback. Because I love the kid, but, and then he just threw out like all the reasons why he wasn't playing. But of the other three common opponents, Miami's won the head-to-head, but I also hate doing that because that also...
If you want to dissect the Pitt games, Notre Dame was up 37-9.
Okay, buddy, you got no leg to stand on. I stayed up for the Stanford game.
All right, hold on. Who was that quarterback?
You're telling me
Stop. Who was that quarterback with 22 seconds to go at Pitt throwing a fade into the end zone?
It's late in the season. You got to stay sharp. Those were great reps. Those were red zone reps.
Who was that quarterback for Notre Dame?
Again, you also...
But if you want to bring that up, I just point out who was that quarterback.
You're also proving my point why I don't actually care. I don't either. I hate doing the
– I do too. And there's a reason that Notre Dame was throwing into the end zone, and it was funny because the people who were still up saying, this is an embarrassment. I'm like, did you watch the Pitt game earlier today? He's like, no. I'm like, yeah, because you're an idiot.
I'm just saying,
you have Carson Beck throwing a touchdown pass with 20 in back-to-back weeks, mind you, with less than a minute to go. Carson Beck's throwing touchdown passes.
Yeah, and I was getting angry. I was like, really, you couldn't do that in the second quarter when the number was still in play?
Right.
Couldn't do that for me, buddy.
Well, and also you got the Nard Dog, who is out there calling timeouts with 5 seconds to go when Notre Dame has their backup defense in to score a touchdown to make it 37-15. And then on the flip side, Nard Dog is punting with 2 minutes to go and be like, here you go, Miami. Why don't you run up the score on us to get us another team into the playoff?
I forgot how much you hate the Nard Dog.
Oh, he's the worst.
The spread's within a touchdown. He's usually pretty good. Our guy can be there for us.
Now, Saturday.
Here's the – yeah, it's true. Saturday was like my revenge. Friday, Saturday was my revenge. And then I capped it off on Sunday with, wait, really? What was the kid from Minnesota? Bosmer?
Max Bosmer.
Yeah. I was like, really? He's going against the Seahawks and I only have to lay 12? Yeah. I like bet it 7 different ways.
Jeffrey, we almost forgot that with the Nard Dog. He's just annoying because he's Italian.
He's Italian.
He has to remind us.
Listen, he steps in it from time to time. He's Italian. He literally gave us the Andrew Cuomo. Like, I'm not a pervert. I'm Italian. Like it was just unbelievable. Like, that was great stuff. Tim, feast week. Let me just say this. When I hit my head on the pillow after a fabulous Thanksgiving, we were looking at one of the biggest red numbers the account's ever seen. By Sunday night, we were up $40.
There we go, baby. That's what we do.
That was a war. A 3-day war. We went to my wife's in-laws on Friday after Thanksgiving. She's like, you're into this game. I was like, oh, if you want Christmas, I'm really into this game. Like, if our daughter wants Christmas, we better be into this game. Like, yeah, it was that kind of week. Okay, so let's get to like the real questions that matter here.
Sure.
All right. So I think first let's start with how far does A&M drop, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there is this weird element of, I think there's a legitimate argument that A&M should be behind Ole Miss, but then you have Ole Miss with a weird lanes in Baton Rouge.
Right.
How is that going to be factored in? And then furthermore, I guess technically Ole Miss's win at Oklahoma is better than A&M's win at Notre Dame, right? Because wasn't Oklahoma a spot in front of Notre Dame?
Yes, Oklahoma's 8, Notre Dame's 9.
But essentially negligible, right?
Sure.
I'm curious to see how they weigh that out because
we made this
point last week on the show. I don't know what it ended up as, but before Saturday, the SEC win-loss record of A&M's opponents was 11-40.
Yeah, I mean, once again, Texas A&M is a team. It's because the bottom of the SEC is looked at better than the bottom of the Big Ten, but you can make an argument Texas A&M is this year's Indiana.
Oh, that was our overreaction.
And I mean, that's the thing. I was going to say,
in fairness to A&M, Indiana did not have a win nearly as good as,
no, of course, no.
As A&M going to South Bend and winning.
Correct. No, 100%.
I mean, didn't we figure out their only win over a team with a winning record, I think, was Michigan.
Did Nebraska have a winning record last
year? Well, no. Are we counting bowl games? Yeah.
Regular season. They go 6-6.
I think they went 6-6, and then they won, like, the Pinstripe Bowl.
So, I think A&M...
Why do I have space in my memory for that?
Because that's what you do, man.
Couldn't I have done something better with my life? Like, imagine if I could have learned, like, coding. Like, just remembered how to code.
You'd be Robert Parra now.
Yeah, it's true. That's the only thing that's separating me from owning a sports team.
I mean, what's interesting is when you look at some of the you know, FEI ratings, SP Plus.
You're now throwing out ratings. I don't. What is FEI?
I don't know. Someone tweeted it to me yesterday. They're like, they use this. I'm like, okay, I don't even know what this is. But a lot of these computer numbers, I think.
Football efficiency index, is that what that is?
It is. Yeah, you have offensive, defensive ratings. I don't know. I just, someone tweeted it to me, and I was like, okay.
I want to clarify. Nebraska did go 6-6 and beat Boston College in the Pinstripe Bowl last year.
There you go.
Oh my God, that's so sad. I know that.
Oh, come Sunday night, I'll have all the bowls memorized. It's my favorite time of year. I love bowl season.
It's not even the reason
why Andy Williams, it's the most wonderful time of the
year. Oh, man, that was a great promo when ESPN started doing that one.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was a tremendous, like, I will still hear, like, whenever I see bowl season, the first thing that comes into mind is that promo.
So if you look at SP Plus, Ole Miss is ahead of A&M.
Okay, we also need to talk about this. What do they actually get put in front of them? I don't think SP Plus, even though ESPN's employee owns SP Plus and does SP Plus, I don't think they put SP Plus in front
of them. I think FPI is definitely in there. Football Power Index.
That for sure.
So FPI has Ole Miss behind A&M. They also look at strength of record. They're big on strength of record. And that has A&M.
I think A&M's slightly ahead, right? Because A&M gets
Ole
a lot
Miss
of credit.
Seven.
A&M did a good job of like beating the hell out of like LSU. And then remember when everybody was playing Mississippi State close, they knocked them out.
So it's very close. Like the Ole Miss A&M discussion, I think, is going to be a really strong one. So strength of record, it goes to A&M over Ole Miss, 3-7. But FPI also goes to A&M, 10-12. And then you look at game control, that goes to A&M. So A&M's probably, if I had to guess, going to get the sixth spot. And then Ole Miss stays at 7, would be my guess.
Okay. And I think if you actually offered, let's ask. George, if I offer you the 7 tonight, are you taking that?
As long as we don't get another stupid 6-7 joke, I can accept that.
Okay, because I think if you're Ole Miss, the whole goal is, I know. Well, no, I know there's a game, and I don't think it's hosting. I think it's
an easy opponent or a hard opponent.
I think it's avoid the 8-9 though, because
it means the Irish are coming to town.
I still would rather have the home game and then play that, and then have. I'm trying to avoid the 8-9 game like the plague, because I don't want any part of Ohio State's bracket. That would be my argument.
Mm. Well, you'd be an underdog to Notre Dame if Notre Dame stays at 9. And then if you won that game, you would be a massive dog to Ohio State. If you were the 6, if we're talking, if chalk holds this weekend, which is a big if, but if chalk holds this weekend, meaning Ohio State beats Indiana, which I'm not convinced, because I think actually it might be a letdown spot for Ohio
State.
Sounds like
we got a spot bet.
It is a spot bet.
No. I mean, it sounds like you and I. It sounds like we've got Washington State, Eastern Washington.
No,
all over.
I haven't bet it yet because I like Ohio State. I think they're better. I just think the spot is tricky.
I don't think Ohio State cares. I don't care. I announced to my wife on Saturday, I will be betting on this team the rest of the way. And like, I know that is dumb, square, stupid logic. They're better than everybody. Like, think about this. That game script could not have been worse for them. They give up 2 chunk runs early. Saiyan gets fooled by cover 2, which I still don't know how that's possible. Like, but he, like, that's a pretty basic coverage. He gets fooled by cover 2, throws a pick, and it did not even matter.
I agree to an extent. My question is this.
Does Michigan stink? And I will acknowledge that that's
fair. I think Michigan's offense is terrible.
I would also say this. They do it to everyone.
They do. But my rebuttal and my question, I'm not saying you're wrong. My question is this. Who's the best offense they've faced this year?
Probably Washington.
That's not very good. And Washington looked more than Washington's offense, according to SP Plus, is 28th in the
country. Where's Texas? Because I think they're down too. Where's Texas?
Texas is 38th.
So maybe where's Illinois?
36.
So the best offense they've seen this year is Washington. And Washington has an offense that's kind of a good old-fashioned NCAA basketball tournament metric manipulator. They put up a bunch of numbers on the bad teams, and then when they play the good teams, they get smothered.
So we'll see. I mean, Indiana is better than last year for sure, but they haven't played anyone to the level of Ohio State. They did go to Oregon. I think that win continues to age very well. I've been very impressed by Oregon's finish to the season. But look, I'm not pushing back. I think Ohio State is the best team. I don't think they're untouchable, but I think they are the best team. And I think also to your point, you want to avoid that side of the bracket as much as you can. Because Ohio State, if you're in the 8-9 game, look, I know I'm a Notre Dame fan. I'm just telling you the way the metrics are. Notre Dame's the second or third best team in the country right now based off of metrics. So if Alabama loses to Georgia on Saturday, which I think they will, Notre Dame is more than likely the 9th seed headed on the road to either Oklahoma. I think it'll be Oklahoma. I don't think Oklahoma's – I don't know how you can jump Oklahoma over Ole Miss. Ole Miss was way more impressive on Saturday, this weekend than Oklahoma was. Oklahoma, dude, get them out of my face.
I mean, my favorite addition to the college football lexicon is Oklahoma is crimson and cream Iowa. That addition this year, it's like, and the irony is Iowa's offense this year's like respectable-ish.
I mean, their defense is nasty. I'll give them
disgusting.
That. They're really good. Really good. Their offense is also disgusting.
Correct.
And if it weren't for a receiver running naked in the middle of the field against LSU.
Did they have 10 guys on the field? Did we ever count?
I have no idea. I watched that replay about 100 times.
I still have
times.
No. It wasn't like a double move. Or like sometimes you'll see double move, man coverage, no safety, or double move with, you know, they put more receivers on one side and the safety's got to pick. That looked like they didn't have enough guys on the field. It wasn't even like a double move. He just ran like straight.
And Mateer couldn't mess that one up. Hey, remember all that Mateer Heisman talk?
Not from me.
I got a text over the summer from someone at ESPN saying, why do you hate John Mateer? I'm like, I don't hate him. I just think this is ridiculous that everyone is drooling over a dude who was great against Mountain West teams and stunk against non-Mountain West teams.
I will say I took it too far in that I said they wouldn't upgrade. I do think they have slightly upgraded.
Well, and they also upgraded offensive coordinator.
Correct. And I'll honestly, like, I have no idea with Jackson Arnold. It's like, I don't know how much of it is Hugh Freeze, how much of it is Arnold. Like, I, you know what I mean? I have no idea.
Well, I think it's pretty clear that Auburn was playing the wrong quarterback.
Maybe. He's not great either, though.
It's better than Jackson Arnold. I mean, at least he gives you. I mean, they won their first game with basically Jackson Arnold running the triple option.
Yeah, but I mean, like, they actually, I mean, Arnold hit a couple. I don't know. I think if Arnold would have played in this system, I think he would have been just fine. I think he would be as good as Ashton Daniels.
I
think the problem with Jackson, though, is the same problem that he ran into with Oklahoma. I don't know if he's like what I would consider an inspirational locker room guy.
I mean, look, I had Auburn on Saturday. When DeBoer decides to go for it, I knew they were going to score because, of course, and then they fumble. So that was a fun loss to take. And then I ended up winning money on Oklahoma LSU because I had LSU plus the points. But I can't recall myself. I live next door to an LSU grad. I don't even think he was watching the game. And I was cheering for LSU like they were my favorite team. I was like, get Oklahoma out of my playoff.
It was close, man. All right, let's take a quick break. We will recap a fantastic rivalry week. We'll get into our awards. We'll do that next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
All right, Tim. I guess it was a somewhat chalky rivalry week, but we had a I still thought the atmospheres looked pretty good. I enjoyed rivalry week overall. Like, is it one that I'm going to remember for the ages? No, but I still thought it was a good one. I thought the atmospheres were pretty good.
Yeah, I thought Auburn, Alabama was fun. Texas A&M was obviously a really good atmosphere. So Michigan, Ohio State, always going to be good. So I did love the snow. Having a little snow element is always fun.
We had a lot of snow this weekend.
Yeah, and if you watched any FCS playoffs, you had a bunch of that too. So, yeah, it was a good weekend. I thought the Friday games were good. You know, I thought the Mountain West was kind of a fun back and forth situation there. Obviously, Texas A&M was great. So, no, all in all, yeah, not one for the ages, but very solid. I was satisfied. Would have gone for a nice upset. Just give me one, but
we technically. Texas was an upset.
No, that's true. Texas was an upset. I mean, I was
thinking a field, so. But I mean, a 2.5 point, like, yeah, that line the whole.
I mean,
week.
We had a big upset, which I was going to mention more in the awards here. But
all right, so
of course, the ACC is going to do what the ACC does.
All right, your team of the week.
Team of the week. I'll give it to Texas. I mean, I knew what was going to follow up as soon as they won that game, but. I'll give it to Texas, but my honorable mention will be New Mexico. This team, man, this is really cool. And, you know, they get, unfortunately, with the tiebreakers we were talking about, they don't get into the Mountain West Championship game. And who knows if Jason Eck is going to be around next year. I know he just got a contract extension.
I'd like for Memphis to take a look at him.
I didn't know if we were going to get into that. I know the reporting is that they're looking at what Charles Huff and the Kennesaw State coach. Yep. But I think Jason Eck would be a really good hire for Memphis. But I'll give it to Texas. But my honorable mention will be New Mexico to turn that thing around to go 9-3. I think it's their first bowl game in like almost a decade. So hell of a year. I had New Mexico in that game, and when they fumbled in the first overtime, when the game was over, essentially, I was pretty much guaranteeing that they would lose the game, and sure enough, they won. So good job, New Mexico.
I thought about getting cute here and going Yale, who trailed, I believe, comeback, was it 35-0 at the half to win 43-42.
Yeah, all the tanks Youngstown out there, because the Ivy has never been in the FCS playoffs before. This year, they got two teams in, and Harvard got curb stomped by Villanova, and to your point, they were down whatever it was, 35-0.
I think it was 35-0. Yeah, something like that.
And they came back.
I thought about getting cute. I think if I would have seen this game on Friday night, I would have given it to Cal, simply because they did the funny thing, which was, I think who did Duke lose to like 2 or 3 weeks ago?
UConn.
No. They lost. Who did they lose to after UConn? Who was the sandwich? Because UConn was the sandwich spot.
Virginia.
When they lost to UVA, I think we gave up the dream.
Oh, yeah.
But then when I saw Saturday and I saw all the teams that I was like, if Duke wins the ACC championship, I'm going to be so annoyed that like Diego Pavi is not in the playoff. And so I just went with, you know what? He still annoys me. We'll get into him later. Ryan Day. But I was very impressed by that because the game script went completely against them. Mm-hmm. I thought after Saiyan throws the pick, I thought that you'd see them kind of clam up, and nope, they just kept slinging it. They played their game, and that was just a no-doubter. And to me, like, man, that is just a team. Like, when Carnell Tate's your number two receiver, it's like, what do you do?
Well, and I think it was, I forget, it might have been Joel Klatt who made this point, where Ohio State has answered every question. Like, they can win a game however you want them to win it. And we thought they couldn't run the football. Well, they ran the football for 186 yards.
I mean, well, that last field goal drive was like 20 plays. Like, yeah, whatever. They didn't, quote-unquote, finish the drive. But it's like they killed the game and they made it a three-score game.
Right, and they did what they were unable to do
right
a year ago, right? 11 minutes and 56 seconds to have the ball. Like, that is life-sucking if you're Michigan. And to your point, when Saiyan threw the pick, I'm thinking to myself, really? Well, because at that point, once again, everything involves in my brain about Notre Dame making the playoff. I'm like, God, Michigan's going to be a playoff team? Like, I don't want Michigan in the playoff. But Ohio State, give him credit. In the snow, in the elements, give Julian Saiyan credit, man. Like, he looked like a Heisman Trophy caliber quarterback. And I know the Heisman Trophy is all over the map this year, but if they win on Saturday, he's going to have a really good point to win the Heisman Trophy.
All right, who is your Heisman winner of the week?
I think I'm going to give it to Malachi Toney. This dude is so fun. The Miami wide receiver, the freshman. Has he turned 18 yet? I don't know.
That's a great question.
I mean, he was against Notre Dame and early on in the year. You know, he's just 17. He is electric, and he is so much fun to watch. He threw a touchdown pass against Pitt. He went for 126 yards on 13 receptions, ran the ball 5 times. He is one of the more exciting players in college football. And, you know, hopefully it's a normal career and he sticks around all 3 years. It's nothing weird, no injuries, because he is an exciting football player. So I'll give it to him. My runner-up was going to be my guy, JKS, Jaren Chiave Sangapulateli, out there in Cal. But we'll talk about them a little bit later. But I'll give it to Malachi Toney.
I'm going to give mine to Jaden Baugh. Like, I know no one should have been watching Florida State. I think this guy's a good back, and I think that's a team that could easily, I mean, maybe they have at certain times, folded up, but 38 carries, 266 yards. Like, it was just watching a running back that a team could do nothing with, and I've liked that guy all year. I think he's a really good back, and so I'm going to give him some flowers.
Yeah, no problem there. You know, I guess neither one of us giving it to Diego. Is he going to be in another moment?
Well, I mean, Diego just deserves his own award.
I mean, who's better to back? Hawaii on the island or Diego as an underdog?
Hawaii on the island was very much part of the get back plan, the get back strategy of Feast Week.
Be careful on sharps. You know, I follow the market very closely. Sharp guys loved Wyoming.
I know.
Didn't understand it. It kind of spooked me. I did end up betting a little bit on it. I did not go all in on it. And I watched the game. I'm like, Wyoming's exactly what I knew they were. They're horrific offensively. Yep. And Hawaii doesn't not cover on the island. By the way, I got a retweet from Timmy Chang.
There you go.
When I said that he went 26-1 ATS.
Man, the man always knows the number.
He knows the number.
All right, my dumpster fire of the week was just Lane Kiffin's mentions.
Oh.
I don't know if you saw that.
No, I did not.
There was a lot of late-stage people, like late-stage Nazi party in Germany. A lot of like, hey, you want to come look over here? Like, there's a lot of that coming out of the woodwork this week. We had yoga instructors saying like he was a bad student. There was some Twitter files that were out there. A lot of good stuff. A lot of, hey, come look over here.
I'm going to give it to Nebraska.
Mm.
Hammered by Iowa. And Matt Rhule now a whopping 0-8 against ranked teams at Nebraska. Still winless against Iowa. And I believe it is 9 straight years that Nebraska has now gone under their preseason win total. Longest stretch in college football. So thank God for Penn State rumors, because he got extended. And if you're Nebraska, you're like, really? Okay.
Did I also see we're getting the Rayola-Nebraska breakup? I know the brother...
Well, his brother decommitted.
But then didn't I also read that he's expected to go under the portal? Which that can, in fairness to Nebraska, that can just be a renegotiation.
I wouldn't be surprised if he entered the portal, and I think that is certainly a clean break situation? Who knows? But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
If Rhule is committed to Dana, he does not strike me as a quarterback that Dana...
Who's Miami's quarterback next year? More of an off-season discussion, but... Who's the high-profile quarterback they get? Is it Sellers?
Lagway?
Okay. Yeah, I could see that. Raiola could be a guy.
I mean, we need to give Mario a little credit. He may not allow them to flourish, but I do think he's picked the right quarterback.
I think the team is really good, and they had... Mario brain farts, and they lost 2 games.
Well, they had the double whammy. Louisville's the Carson Beck brain farts.
Right.
SMU was Mario brain farts that was capped off by a bad pick by Beck, but that game should never have gotten to overtime, was my whole deal. It's like, everyone that wants to like just trash Beck, it's like, that game should not have gotten there.
Well, and I think, too, and I know we're getting into the Miami discussion here real quickly, and look, I think they're worthy of being in the playoff. I think they're a top 10 team. But the problem is they lost 2 games in the ACC. The ACC has shown us what they are. It's a terrible conference this year.
No. It's always a terrible conference. That's my contention.
Remember when Florida State beat Alabama?
I mean, I do.
The biggest WTF moment of the year, is it that game?
In fairness, I told George, I think this was around week 5, I was like, there's always going to be one result week 1 that you're like, that happened? And I did sniff that out. I was like, I think that's going to be the one where like, how did that happen? It happens every single year. There's just a week 1, and I'm not trying to...
What was it, the Virginia Tech beat Ohio State the year that
I think
won
it was
the title?
That was technically like a week 2, like a weird week 2 game in
Blacksburg.
Well,
Northern Illinois, Notre Dame.
Exactly. Like, there's always just one early where you're like, that makes no sense, and we sniffed that one out pretty early. I would also say this. I do think Alabama's getting a little – it does feel like Alabama doesn't get combed over critically in the way that maybe some other teams do, but I guess you could also make the argument the committee did put them behind Notre Dame Like, so
I was very surprised that they put him behind Notre Dame because their resume is a lot better than Notre Dame's.
The wins are. I guess that's the weird thing of, like, it does feel like they're just penalizing. Did you lose to a bad team?
Right. Oklahoma didn't lose to a bad team. Oklahoma got blown out by Texas.
And Oklahoma has the excuse of, like, Mateer or the hand surgery, which I'd be like, have you seen him when he's healthy?
Right.
Anyone? Just nope, just me?
And they lost to Ole Miss.
All right. Most college football moment of the week. I'll go first and give you a little time to think.
Okay.
So, you know, I've always made the joke, anytime we're watching football in September and you've got a Florida team playing, like, just go ahead and, like, carve out 8 hours if you bet on that game because there's going to be multiple lightning delays. I've got a new addition to our, I swear to God, every time I watch this team on TV, there's a lightning delay. TCU lightning delays. Yet again, we had another one. I swear there have been five games this year where TCU, I've just had to, like, they moved the game to FS2. And it's like, does anyone have FS2?
When I saw that come across the bottom, I was like, it's November.
Yes.
How was there a lightning delay in November? But sure enough, there was.
I don't know, like, because normally I've always made the joke with my friends from college that were from Dallas, like, whatever weather Dallas gets, like, 12 to 18 hours later, Memphis gets, and I don't remember any lightning over the weekend, but it's like, I guess just that stadium must just be like an electricity conductor. Maybe it's Hypno Toad or whatever, Hypno Frog, whatever he is. Like, maybe that just brings in all the lightning and just all the electricity. All right, what do you got?
So you mentioned already, I was going to mention the Yale comeback, 28 point down to win their first ever FCS playoff game. SMU losing is just so ACC.
Yep.
All they had to do is beat Cal as a 13.5-point favorite who just fired their coach. All you got to do is win that game, and the ACC doesn't have to worry. Yes, Miami's not going to get in, but at least we're good. And just, of course, and then you have these dumb tiebreakers that allows a 7-5 team who lost to UConn a couple weeks ago to get into your championship game. But I'm going to go with, after getting your ass kicked in the snow, Michigan stands in the middle of the field to guard from flag
strength
planting.
And honor.
How big of a loser do you have to be? And look, I was critical of Ohio State a year ago when they got all bent out of shape with the flag planting. You lost the football game. You had 60 minutes to defend your honor. And then you're going to be tough guy and stand in the middle of the field after you did it to them a year ago? How lame was that?
That's definitely up there. Can we go back to the Cal thing? Because I don't really have the Rhett Lashley gene. Like, I think he's a decent guy from everyone I know that knows him. Like, but that's not really, like, I just don't think he's, like, that great of a coach. I do think he's got a good job. Did they mismanage that last drive offensively? Not the last drive for the...
Are you talking about the field goal? Missed 52-yarder?
Not that drive. The drive where...
They went up 35.
Correct. And, like, because I was trying to play it out, it's like, I did not think Cal could stop them, and I kind of thought Cal was letting them score. But at the same time, it's like when you looked at down and distance, like I don't really think they did. They basically, like, you would have basically had to say, take two knees.
And then you still have to score a touchdown.
Right. So I don't know. Like, the mistake obviously was, like, they dug way too big of a hole.
Sure. I mean,
like, there's no question on that.
You're down 31-14 in the early part of the fourth quarter. In a do-or-die game.
Correct. They were not ready to play, and, like, I get it, all the travel. Like, this is, they're not the first team that had to go across the country and didn't play their best. Like, I fully understand that. I could not tell. Could you figure out what was Lashley going nuts about on the when they were trying to spike it, but the center didn't even snap the ball?
I don't know.
Was he going nuts that he thought Cal simulated the snap. Like, I couldn't figure that out. And also, I guess the one thing I would say is I did not understand when there was 8 seconds left why they didn't at least try to run it. Like, maybe they take it away, but why not try to run like a quick out, see if he can get 7-8 yards.
Yeah.
And if he's not there, just sail it over his head.
I agree. No, there was a lot. I mean, once again, first and foremost, you can't go down 17 in the fourth quarter against an inferior opponent. But I mean, it's just typical of this conference this year. And you had a good win over Miami. Louisville, I don't understand what Louisville is this year, to be honest. Like, it looked like they quit on the season when they got absolutely murdered by SMU, and then they turn around and snap a 3-game losing streak, beating.
Well, they went back to Miller Moss
out of Kentucky.
Well, it brought up the, like, what was Brohm doing benching Miller Moss? Was he just like mad at him? Because that was the other thing. It's like, you and I talked about this. I actually got like closing line value on Louisville that game, and then there's just nothing worse than getting the FAML tweet or having my wife get the FAML tweet in the morning because I still don't have Twitter. They're going to turn to the backup. You watch the first series, you're like, well, this is done.
Yeah.
An absolute just loser. All right, stock up. Anyone? I know we're obviously into week 14, but I actually did have one.
Okay, go for it.
I don't want them in the playoff.
Vandy?
No, I do want Vandy in the playoff.
Oklahoma?
Uh-uh. Texas.
Mm.
I think they would be in the category of I wouldn't want to play them.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I don't want them in the playoff because not only did you lose 3 games and you got absolutely embarrassed by Florida and you got blown out by Georgia, let's not forget that, you were beyond fortunate to beat Mississippi State and Kentucky. So
I just don't think Texas is any different than Alabama or Ole Miss was last year in the sense that do I think those teams are good enough to be playoff teams? Sure. Don't lose. And I get it, the Ohio State game. It's like, you know what? Don't lose to Florida.
Well, that's the thing. And everyone's like, well, if they just scheduled Akron, you know, is this what you want? It's like, okay. But if you win that game, it catapults you into a new stratosphere.
Well,
it's
first
like
off, that's also an unfair argument. They have to schedule a Power 5 team or a Power 4 team. So, like, okay, maybe if they scheduled Purdue, but it's like everyone's trying to sprint in line. Like, you had to have someone on the schedule. And literally, who else? No, Florida beat Mississippi State. I was going to say, you were Florida's only.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/arrow. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.